3 John. Amen. And we're going to read the third verse of 3 John. The second verse, excuse me, of third John. Okay. 3 John is right after 2 John. Okay. Everybody there? If you don't have your Bibles, I pray that you do, because I'm going to be in the Bible. It's on the monitor here. Ready, begin. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Let's read it again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, you always read that so beautifully, and I want to thank you for reading the Word of God. You know, when you read the Word of God, the Bible tells us to do this. It also tells us that we are blessed when we read the Word, because the Word does what the Word does. The Word is supernatural. It's anointed. It has power. It's mighty. And it's able to manifest after its kind. And we need to make sure that we stay in line with speaking what God says, releasing our faith in what God says, and believe that what God has said is truth and it will come to pass. This particular story here, or letter that John, the apostle, writes to Gaius. You know, I always used to pronounce it Gaius for some reason, but the proper pronunciation is Gaius. The I is supposed to be like a Y, Gaius, okay? And anyway, Gaius here is the elder, and he's ministering to him, and he's sharing with him about the truth and the love that he has in his life that has been manifested in his life, and it has brought joy to John to see that. But he said, one of the things that I believe that is so important and significant in your life, John, is that above all things, I want you to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper. He desires this. He desires to see, you know, think about it. I'm more effective if I'm healthy to you. You got to come and visit me in the hospital. I thank God for, I'm looking at 21 years now, and, you know, I don't remember ever going to the hospital. You know, I've gone to the doctor. You know, I've been attacked. But actually staying in the hospital and staying there, because I believe God wants me healthy. Even if I'm attacked, I still gonna speak, I'm made whole. I'm still gonna speak, I am blessed. See, that's the prosperous life. The prosperous life has to start on the inside first before it can operate on the outside last. In other words, the prosperous life has to start with your way of thinking. The mindset that you have. If you're thinking in poverty, if you're thinking in lack, you're thinking without, then you limit yourself to what God wants you to have. You'll speak those things and you'll have what you say. So God really wants us to, even when we're tested and we feel those things and experiencing those things that have come against us, God wants us to speak his will, which is his word. Amen? And his word says he wished for us to prosper, be in health, even as our soul prosper. And when I was at the jail this week, and I was ministering at the jail, and, you know, I always, as a teacher, because, God has called me to teach, too, because this is an assignment that God has called me to do. I like to preach, but God said, look, I want you to teach. All right, Lord, I'm going to stick with what your plan is, because you get more out of that. A lot of times we come and we hear a preach word, but you ask the person what they preached on, and you can't remember. But when you teach something, see, teaching will give you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, but it'll also give you understanding. When you get understanding of a word, no one can take that from you. See, a lot of times you can hear a word and you get all happy and you know, goosebumps all over you, but you can't remember what was said. You need to know what was said so that when you're tested in life, you got a word to deal with the enemy and to overcome. And the Bible said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So anyway, when I was at the jail, I was asking them, you know, about, you know, walking in health. And I asked them, I said, what is your heart call in the Bible? What is your heart call in the Bible? Your heart. Now I'm going to test y'all and see if y'all don't. I hope y'all don't respond like the people in the jailhouse rock did, okay? Can anyone tell me? What is your heart call in the Bible? Your heart. I ain't talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about your heart. What is your heart call? Y'all look like y'all don't want to respond to me this morning. What's up with y'all? Oh, Lord. Huh? That's the same answer they gave me. So, now you see the reason why I teach? Because if you don't know the difference between the two, you're going to you have the misconception of what your soul is and what your heart is. Okay? Your heart is your spirit. See? Your heart is your spirit. Now, you guys have been in seminary class with me. Y'all know, y'all should know better than that. Y'all should have gave me a good answer, okay? But that's all right. I still love you. I ain't picking on you. All right, give me three people. I need three people. I always believe this. Three people today, not tomorrow. Three people. I don't need but three people. I'm not gonna chew you up and spit you out, okay? Just three people. Okay, that's two. Three. All right. Good. I got this. Okay, you're going a different height. I like that. Huh? Yeah, step up just a little bit there. There you go. All right. The whole man. Now, I've shared this before, but obviously I got to share it again, right? Because I want you to see the distinct difference between the two. Now, you got to understand this, that you are made up of a three-part man. Three-part man. You are made up of a three-part man. We are made up of spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to be mindful that I don't touch them, because sometimes they say I hit too hard when I touch, huh? And I'll be slapping them, you know. So, now, the spirit, I said, is your heart. The soul is your mind. This is your body. Your body is your temple, or the house that you and I live in. What we see, when we see each other, we see the house. But that's not the real you. The real you is your spirit. Okay? That's the real you. That's the image of God. You've been made in the image and likeness of God. Your spirit is your heart. Peter calls it the hidden man, or the inner man, or the innermost being. Okay? Your soul represents your mind, your emotions, your intellect, and your will. Your soul is the decision maker. He's the one that makes the choices in life. The soul must be renewed with the word of God so you can make right decisions. A soul that's not renewed to the word of God will make wrong decisions. How can you make a right decision and you're thinking wrong? See, the word of God is supposed to be leading and guiding you into truth. Okay? Remember, Gaius was talking about, John was talking about Gaius, about sharing the truth in love. And we're talking about the God kind of love, the agape love, the unconditional love that comes out of your spirit, the recreated man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new species, the scripture says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now you begin to walk in newness, and it's the newness of the grace of Christ that has been given to your life. And now your mind has to be renewed. So now if your spirit is recreated and your mind has been renewed, the body will automatically follow. Don't have to see, the body will only do what this right here tells it to do. That's the soul. Amen? Now, go with me to 1 Thessalonians. I've got to go back in a different way than which I had planned to go. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, and 23rd verse. I ain't finished with y'all up here. I know y'all like standing a good little while. So First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and go with me to the 23rd verse, okay? All right, 23rd verse. And the scripture says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray the God of your whole, say whole spirit. And soul, say that. And body. Be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God said in his word given to us that our spirit, our soul, I like that, and our body be preserved. God wants to preserve us. You are preserved because of the word. And you have a covenant because of the word. And it's up to you to take hold of the covenant. Okay? And so now if you notice in that passage of scripture, it said your whole spirit and soul and body. And is a conjunction. And means something is going to be added to what you had before. Isn't that right? In other words, it's in addition to what you had before. So the soul, I gave you that scripture because you can't say the spirit and the soul are the same. Is that right? How can it be the same when you got an? It would say spirit and spirit. Or it would say soul and soul. But it didn't say that. It said spirit and soul and body. Amen? Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Now, there are other scriptures, too, but I won't get into all that. But I give that enough for you to chew on, okay? So what's the heart now? The spirit man. The heart is the spirit man. And they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Bible said he looked for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So see, if you worship him in spirit, your mind is going to follow because you have made a decision to follow your spirit. See, your spirit is supposed to be in charge, not your mind being in charge. Your spirit is supposed to be in charge of your mind, not your mind in charge of your spirit. But your mind being renewed to the word will make the right decisions to follow the spirit. But if your mind hasn't been renewed to the word of God, it will follow the flesh. You ain't gotta go to school to operate in the flesh. It comes, you're born with that. The Adamic nature, okay, the fallen nature of Adam, and it fell upon all mankind. But Christ came on the scene to redeem us from all of that. Now, let's go back to 3 John 2. 3 John 2, he said, beloved, be loved. That means he's showing love. And he's saying, I want you to know that you are loved. John is saying, Gaius, you are loved. Being loved by God. And I pray. Now, I like that a translation from the Amplified. Instead of the King James, it says, I wish. It's almost like you wish like a wishbone. You don't have to wish this thing. You believe it. See? You can believe it. Okay? But that was the words that they used from the King James Version. But a better translation is, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So I want you to know that in this particular letter that he's writing here, he said he was telling the church that he wanted them to prosper. He wanted them to have good success. In other words, the scripture says you prosper and you are in good success because you renew your mind. See? Your soul, even as your soul prosper. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Right now, I'm speaking to you the word of God, and your mind is being renewed to the word of God. It's causing you to prosper. But don't you know that God wants to prosper the whole man? He wants the whole man to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. And when you became born again, you stepped into prosperity. Because beforehand, you was going to die and go to hell. I'm just being upfront, blunt, straight to the point. But Christ's grace, he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So he died so that you and I could have everlasting life. So that's the prosperous life. The prosperous life is also that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you became a witness for him, that empowered your life for prosperity. I mean, and so when you, and not only that, when the Holy Spirit was there to engage in your life, to lead and guide you into all truth. See, that's the prosperous life. God wants you to prosper with the help of the Holy Spirit. That means I got to spend time communicating, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide me, show me things even to come. The reason why many times we more in the mind area than we in the spirit area, and that's where we become frustrated. If you're frustrated, you're in the mind. Because mind, whose mind is stayed on him? He said he'll keep you in perfect peace. Get in the spirit. So if I get frustrated, I know why am I frustrated? I question myself. Why am I going through all this? Why am I taking myself through all this when he's already finished all of it on the cross for me? And you got to understand this too, that he, now, like I said, on the cross, the prosperous life is that he redeemed you from the curse. You and I all was operating under a curse before we became born again. But he redeemed us from the curse, and the Bible said from the curse of the law in Galatians 3rd chapter. And so if he redeemed us from poverty, which is a curse. See, he redeemed us from sin, which is a curse. He redeemed us from sickness. See, if you're sick, that's a curse. It's the curse of the enemy. But Christ said, I come to redeem you from that. Redeeming you means that the blood of Jesus came on the scene to pay the price over poverty, sickness, and eternal damnation. In other words, I redeem you from going to hell. So that you could, man, that's a prosperous life. I don't know about you, but I am thrilled, extremely happy about how good God has been in my life. Now, you should be too, if he's done anything. So, now, then I'm looking at, okay, now he wants to take it a step further and for the prosperous life. He wants the prosperous life not only just to be in my life, but he wants it to be in my family. See? He wants me to release that prosperity is for the whole life. I'm connected to prosperity, then prosperity will be connected to me and whoever I come in communication with, who wants to be in agreement with me, will also lock into the inheritance of prosperity. Because see, it's been given to us as a covenant. See? And all we don't have to make it happen. He's already made a covenant. Otherwise, it's like, you think about this. If someone leaves you a will, all you got to do is receive it. The lawyer comes to you and says, sign the paper. You know, because daddy going to leave us $1 million, Faye, when he leaves. Huh? He say he going to hit it. He going to leave us $1 million. So y'all, Pete Pastor Rock come here and say, oh, Pastor Rock, a millionaire. Huh? I was a millionaire before he left it. Huh? I was a millionaire because of this. Huh? See, the Bible said he became poor that you may be rich. See, and see, that's a covenant that we already have. Some of us trying to obtain it in this world system when God has already provided in the heaven system. See, because we sit with him in heavenly places where we have all spiritual blessings. The blessing of God is already on us. We're not going to have to get it. It's already here. And all we got to do is receive it. See? So it's already given. So now, if you don't have an attitude to believe and think that way, you won't operate in that. You'll just operate on what you see and how you feel and what the circumstances are. But you got authority to speak to the mountain. You got authority to speak to circumstances. And if you're not speaking to the circumstances is speaking to you. So God is waiting for the church to make a stand. He's waiting for the church to speak the word and to speak it only. Because then you'll get the word results. Amen? And so God wants us all to prosper. He wants us all to have good success. And part of having that good success, as I mentioned earlier, the mind has to be renewed. In Joshua 1:8, he talks about prosperous, being a prosperous life. Joshua 1:8 says, let not the word depart from thy mouth, but meditate day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. God wants you to have a prosperous life. And it is a sad scenario with the church. And I'm sure, yeah, there have been many who have, you know, manipulated and gained. And preachers have done this. I know that. And you got to be discerned over that. I understand that. But God, just because preachers have done it, that don't mean that you have to kick the word of God to the curb. Because understand this. In this same book here, 3 John 2, there was a gentleman in this Bible. I want you to go here. Go back to this. Go back to in this Bible, or in this book here, in your Bible, his name was, ninth verse. Go to the ninth verse. He said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Why did he receive them not? Because he was coming against the word of God. There are people who come against prosperity for the church. Well, why you want the church to be broke, busted, and disgusted? That doesn't make sense, does it? And you think about it, most of you don't want to be that way. And if you don't want to be that way, why do you think God wants the church to be that way? Okay? Now look what he's saying here. He said, now, this guy was coming against the church. And instead of supporting me of what I was sharing with the church to support the missionaries and the mission that God has called me to carry out, he said he was coming against me, and he was telling the church, don't support John. Don't be supportive to John's mission. In other words, John is all about himself. Actually, John was about the mission of the kingdom. Okay? And so he tried to get... Diotrephes, I don't know why I keep pronouncing his name, Diotrephes, to support the missionaries, you know, and that's in verse 7. If you go to verse 7, because for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. See, in other words, he was malicious against him, you know, but he made it known, John made it known to the church, and he said, but being supportive to Demetrius, which is another person in the ministry that was being a blessing in carrying out what John had given the church so that the church could carry on the work of the ministry. Now, why does God give us money? What's the purpose of money? What's the purpose of having money in our lives? You know, and I shared when I was talking to you the other day, you know, money is to, you know, to help people out of poverty. Money is to... It's the use for trade. It's the use for buying and selling. Money is necessary in this life if we want to have success. Okay? Because money is a tool. But God wants us to use it with the wisdom. God wants us to use it with faith. And see, and many times, money is really the least thing that God really is concerned about. But if we don't handle the little things right with our funds, then God can't expect for us to handle the big things that he wants to bring before us. See, where much is given, much is also required. So if I'm not dealing with the little things properly, when much is given to me, I won't deal with those properly as well. See, I won't have the wisdom of God that God wants me to carry out, which is in his word. God has already given us a plan how to function in his word. And if you go to Deuteronomy with me, Deuteronomy the eighth chapter. Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. I want to read this out of the Message Bible. I like the Message Bible. And I'm going to read the 17th and the 18th verse. See, because it's important that you know that when God gives you things, It's God who's the one who has given you the good and perfect gifts, the blessings. And it's not so much you did it, and it's all about you. Amen? You know, because who gave you the air to breathe? Who gave you the strength to be able to accomplish the things that you have accomplished in life? See, sometimes we forget about all of that because we just think about what I did and don't realize that God graced your life to be able to have what you have. Amen? Now, from the Message Bible, the Bible says this out of the 17th verse. He said, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this and all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that promised to your ancestors as it is this day. So it is God who has given us power to get wealth that we may establish his covenant. You see that in the King James Version that you got. So, but it's God who gives us the blessings. The power is the anointing, the blessing. The power is the favor of God. And favor is something that you don't even deserve, or me either. See? Because favor is undeserved. See? If you look at favor is undeserved, is unmerited, is unearned. You can't work for favor. Favor is just given to you because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. My God, that's prosperous life. And you got to take hold of that covenant that God is so graceful in your life that he has called and ordained for you to be blessed, and you need to see yourself blessed. Even if you don't have a dime in the bank, you need to see, hey, I got to see that, hey, money got to come. You know, you can speak to money and money will come. You know, you got authority with your tongue to speak money, and you got authority with your tongue to speak debt. Most of us speak in debt. Oh, y'all ain't say too much amen on that one. I know that. Huh? If you see lack and all you speak is lack, then you still welcome lack. We all been in a test. We all been in a trial. We all been without. But I don't mean we have to stay there. We don't have to live there. Amen? So that means I'm going to have to change the way I think so I can change the way I believe so I can change the way I talk. See, if I change the way I think and change the way I believe, I will talk the word of God. And then I will believe that this word that God says will come to pass. Amen? Even if it don't look like it's coming to pass. Even though if it don't feel like it's coming to pass. You speak the word. And I'm telling you, I've seen many times, I said, Lord, you said in your word, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there were times you used to say money cometh. You forgot all about that. If you ain't saying it, it ain't coming. You sweating for it, working for it. But it is something that when somebody can just come and give you a check and you didn't ask for it. I gave y'all the testimony earlier. People's giving me stuff and I didn't ask for it. I would just sit there buying my business, eating my sandwich. And someone decided to come up and get. I'm telling you, it works. But it won't work for you if you don't believe it. If you don't believe it. That blessing is already on you. You are a member of the body of Christ. See, when you came into the body of Christ, you're already anointed. You're not going to get anointed. You're already anointed because you're anointed because of Christ. You're not anointed because of you. You're anointed because of Christ. Now get that anointing on you and take it, glory to God. Walk with that anointing. Walk with the favor of God. Walk with the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Walk with that thing. Walk with the love of God that's unconditional. See that is your life. You ordained to walk in that. See, God wants you to see that. But if you can't see it, you won't thank it. So you got to see it on the inside first. I know circumstances come against us. I know that. They come against me too. But I have to look. I got to check myself. What am I going to say out of my mouth with this? What, you know, how am I going to react to this? How would Jesus react to it? Let's take it home. How would Jesus react to it? I'm not talking about how you react to it or how I react to it. How would he react to it? How did he react to it when he had to feed the 5,000? Did he say, oh, Lord. Jesus is going to call on Jesus. Lord Jesus. Come on, think about it. He didn't do that. He blessed it. He believed God. See, God really wants to know whether or not you take yourself out of your comfort zone, out of your mindset, and believe what the word says is able to be possible. It may be impossible with man, but all things are possible to him that believe. See, God is looking for believers, and you are a believer. You don't have to try to be a believer. You've been called and ordained of God to be a believer. So act like a believer. Even when it don't look like it, you believe it anyhow. Even when it don't feel like it, believe it anyhow. Begin to speak blessings over your life. See, I used to speak blessing over my family all the time, my kids all the time. You know, I used to continue to, and my family is blessed because of the spoken word. See, you look, if the father's out of place, the family's out of place. See, I choose to be in place. I choose to speak. I choose to speak the will of God. And when you get in place, you'll see it. You'll see the manifestation of it. Hallelujah. I need three people. Huh? Here you go. I'm an illustrator. I'm a teacher. Y'all know that. I need three. Okay. You like coming up here, don't you? All right. It's a story in the Bible. I'm going to give you some principles here. I didn't just preach, but I'm going to give you some principles here. It's a story in the Bible. They talk about a Lord of three servants. He had three servants. Okay, is in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Servant number 1, 2, and 3. Okay, and the scripture talks about how in the 25th chapter, how this is relative to the kingdom of heaven. It's like a metaphor. In other words, it's an earthly story giving you heavenly meaning. But the heavenly meaning is so that you can apply what God has given us in heaven on earth. The principles come from the kingdom of God. And that's what he wants to operate in our lives. The kingdom of God principles have to be applied to our lives from the word of God so we can establish it on the earth. Okay? In that story, he said that the first servant, he was happy. You can tell he was happy because the first servant, He got 5 talents. Now let's say that this first servant got $5,000. Let's say $5 million because he looked like he looked big. Yeah, let's say $5 million. I'm just adding that to it. Okay, it really wasn't that much, but it was about maybe $5,000. They say it's the second had two talents, which I would say let's say $2 million. Okay? $5 million, $2 million. Then the third one had $1 million. I like to make it big because it would make it, okay. I mean, now think about it. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with money, with more than enough, with gold and silver, horses, and you name it. Everything that he didn't ask for the things. He asked for wisdom. He asked for God wisdom. So we need wisdom so that we won't act foolish in how to carry out what God gives us. See? Where much is given, much is also required. So God gives us things, but he wants to know how we're going to use what he gives us. But when he gives it to us, he don't want us to sit on it. He wants it to be multiplied. God is, you know, Jesus was a Jew. He's about making some money. Increase. God is no different. When he gives you something, he wants increase from it. We're talking about the kingdom of God principles in operation. It's not taking anything from God. It's giving something to you. So here he is. He leaves. He travels. He goes for a season for a while. The master of the servants. I'm the master of the servants. Okay. I'm going. I'm minding my own business. I'm taking, you know, going over here and seeing, making some more trades over here with the Hispanic country over here, over in Brazil, okay? Puerto Rico, huh? And so here I am. And then I come back later on. I come back and check out my servants. You see what they did with what I've given them. Okay? I didn't give it to them just so that they can swander over it, you know, and lay back and kick the heels, you know. But I wanted to know whether were they good stewards or not. Were they good stewards of what I gave them to carry out the functions? Because, see, now he had given to each of them, the Bible says, severally as or their abilities were concerned. See? So God will give even to us according to our ability. Okay? In other words, he will bless us with what he has already given us and gifted us with. Every soul in here is gifted. Not a soul not gifted. Okay? But now he will give you something that he expects you to have a return from it. And not just give it to you for the sake of just looking at it and swandering over it. So when he came to the first servant, and first servant, he was just so happy that he had doubled his. So let's just say he had $5 million. He turned it over into $10 million. Man, making y'all think at it. Huh? He turned that thing over in $10 million. And so he responded to the servant. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over much. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Huh? Man, he was already entering into the joy of the Lord. Huh? Because he was fulfilling what the master of the servants had called him to do. But understand this. He was faithful. He operated in faith. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. So whatever he invested in, he got a return. And he believed, but it took faith to do that. Because faith without works is dead. Amen? So if you ain't got no works with your faith, it's dead. Amen? So he took that with the Lord of the servant had given him, and he multiplied it. God has given you a gift. You got to understand, you got a gift, and you got to use your gift. And you say, "Well, I don't know what my gift is." Ask him. He said, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened." Ask him. And then he will show it to you. "Show it to me, Father. I need to know. Because my gift will make room for me." Huh? That's scripture. What am I doing? I'm returning back to the Word of God. See? And I'm expecting the Word of God to give me revelation, to give me insight, to give me witty ideas. Remember, it's God who gives you power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. So God gives you power, the anointing, and the ability to get wealth, but he also gives it to you so you can establish the covenant. It ain't just about you. It's about the kingdom. See, when he knows you own the kingdom, he knows you about kingdom business, boy, he's going to give you more. Because why? He can trust you. Reason why you ain't getting more, because he can't trust you. Can he trust you? It's a question. Can he trust you? He goes to the second one. Huh? Look at this second one here. The second servant, huh? $2 million, double it. She came out with $4 million. And she was so happy to tell the Lord of the servants, you know what she had accomplished. I'm making her personal in this story, okay? And the same words he told the first, he told the second. Because not to say that this one is any better than this one, it's just that he did what he was assigned to do or called to do with the gift that they had. So your gift that God has given you is for you to prosper, to have good success. And so, same words. "Well done." He didn't say, "Depart from me, I don't know you." He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much." He said, "Enter into the joy of the Lord." Huh? Enter into the joy of the Lord. Huh? Uh-oh. I hope this ain't nobody in the house. This one servant. This one servant made up their mind because they done heard somebody say something about the Lord of the servants that won't write. I know you're gonna succeed or you're gonna prosper or you're gonna have much wherever you haven't even sown or strawed, the scripture says. This is what this last one was thinking. But you don't find it in the Bible. You don't find it in the Bible. Think about this. When God spoke words, he believed that his word was going to produce creative force, creative power, and to manifest. In other words, even in the fourth chapter of Mark, the Bible says in the 14th verse, the sower soweth the word. Words are sown with creative power to manifest. You know, you got to see it. You got to see it. But obviously, and they said this servant here was afraid. This servant here, was full of fear. Now, these two over here was full of faith. Well done, that good and faithful servant. This one over here, you know what this one did? Huh? Look at Scott. Scott said, why you got to be me? Huh? This one here went out and dug a hole and buried the money. You know, I was thinking about my wife, and she was telling me about her grandfather. Her grandfather, and see, during the time of depression years, many of y'all can't go back that far. You do, you know, the 30s, I think it was in the 30s or whatever. And so he would go out, and he would put money into mason jars. Y'all remember those mason jars? Okay. And he would bury them in the back, in the field somewhere. And he had so much money buried. And I can understand, you got to understand, and I can understand possibly why he did that, because banks weren't doing too good anyway. If the bank fold, your money fold with it. So, and a lot of people did lose a lot of money that they invested that money into the bank. But anyway, he had buried a lot of his in the field. And they said when he died, everybody came out to woodwork. All the Winstons was out there. Huh? I ain't see the Winstons out there digging. I been said they didn't have to plow the field. Huh? They didn't even horse or a mule. This all they saw was shovels out there, and they were digging. Huh? Looking for grandpa's stash. What he had buried in the fields. But now, according to the kingdom of God principles here, how the kingdom of heaven operates, this servant over here wasn't doing what God has ordained from the kingdom of God's operation for manifestation. See, because this person had a gift, but they sit on it. The Bible said this person was slothful. A slothful person, and lazy persons in the house. You know, it's amazing. I asked that question when I was at the jail, and a couple of them guys raised their hand. I said, you don't have to announce it, you know. But if that's the case, then you have already made a decision not to produce, not to believe God has given you a gift to produce. Not a soul in the house, in the body of Christ, that God doesn't want to produce, that God don't want to have, that God don't want to see that he is a God that is a supplier, and that he will always be there to meet your need. You know, I like those stories about, you know, the widow women who had so many kids, and they were raising so many kids, but their dad had died or either took off and ran off, and they would pray God for food, and for some reason, someone would come knocking on the door, and then they would leave, and they would have grocery bags of food just providing to meet the needs of the family. And the only thing the mother did was just pray. And the mother didn't have anything in the cupboard or anything in the refrigerator. And you know, and during that time, it was like, they call it ice box. You know, y'all don't know about an ice box, you know. But here's the thing. She believed. Well, this third servant was not believing. We're not trusting God. See, we're living in a time now that we, you know, you can't trust the Wall Street market. I mean, you can put a lot of money investment in there, and then you can boom, it can crash. That's a system that's established by man. And you know, now, you know, if you maybe you need to think about it. You know, do I need to keep it in there? You know. And you can't trust man, you have to trust God. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We always say, that's a scripture passage, but I ain't with all that. No, you better be with it. If you want to operate in God providing for you and showing you how to receive supernaturally. See, you got to understand, God multiplication is much higher than what the market will give you. How many of you believe you can put in $5 million and get a $5 million return in the market of the Wall Street? You probably get something taken away from you, huh? You know, and I'm not trying to discourage you in the marketing, but the thing is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's scripture. It tells you to invest in a variety of ways. And the most important way to invest is to invest in people. When you invest in people, you can get a return from the people that you have invested in. You know, that the Bible talks about a steward. It talks about a steward who has squandered all of the master's funds. He was rich. And so the master said, look, you got to go. You got to get away from me because you're being a burden. You're not being a help. And so during the process, he left and he was wondering, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to work. I don't know how to dig. I don't know how to survive because this is all I've ever done. And it didn't do that good, you know. And so what he did was he went to all the collectors that this master owed. He went to all the collectors, and what he did, he made a deal with them. He said, look, I know you owe this amount, but all I want you have to do is just write a check for $50. I know you owe this amount, but all you got to do is write a check for $100. I know you owe this amount, but all you got to do is write a check for $25. You know, in other words, he made a deal with wisdom because when he loses his job, he know he got these to go back to. He was using godly wisdom even when he didn't know he was using it. He was using godly wisdom and how a principle, and then the master of the servant realized that he used wisdom. In other words, in order to see his tomorrow. His tomorrow is just to be blessed. But third servant won't use no wisdom. Come on now. Sometimes you sit on what God called you to do. Sometimes you put off of what God said. I told you, this is what I want you to step into. And you know it. You know it on the inside because you're being led by the Spirit. And you say, Lord, I'm going to get around to it. Lord, I want you to do it now. Then when you get around to it, it may be too late. Someone else has already taken it up. And see now this servant, he said, was kicked out and was thrown out where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's almost like it kicked him into hell. Weeping and gnashing. In other words, the master of the servant cut off the blessings. And cut off the blessings to the one who had buried, the $1 million and took it and gave it to the one who had five. Why was that? Because the one who had five was using wisdom. Why he didn't give it to the two? Because that's what he chose to give it to. You know, that's how some people, I say that because some people think that way. Why I ain't get it? Why he had to bless her? Why he ain't bless me? I needed as much as, Because God said, no, God said, I need to bless that person because God said, I know what that person going to do with it. Sometimes you can be the very one to turn off the blessing because why? You haven't been doing what you've been called to do, ordained to do. And God, you know it. You sit on it. You pout over it. You got words stout against what you believe in God for. You know, you don't think you're going to ever get there. You know, when it rains, it pours. You know, why does it always happen to me? I know you never say that. No, come on. Those words are not words that are profitable. Those words are not words that are prosperous. Those words are not words that are blessed. Those words are not words that will meet the need, that will supply the need. Those words are words that are negative and stinking thinking. God wants to change your words to his words so you can operate in the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Increase is supposed to be on our life. More is supposed to be on our lives. Abundance is supposed to be on our life. Why is that? Not because of what we do. It's what he's done. You got to get that. Not because of what we do. It's what he done. Jesus said these words out of John 10:10. He said, I've come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. The Bible says in the Amplified Version, it says that you may have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you got to keep your mind not on what the enemy comes for. You keep your mind on what Christ have came for and has ordained for you to operate in. That's the blessing of the Lord. The Proverbs 10:22 says this, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no toiling, no sorrow to it. So if there's sorrow operating, it's not the blessing. If there's sweat and pain and agony added to it, that's not the blessing. See, when God bless you, it's something that you didn't have to work for. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that loving? And I mean, you know, when God gives you something, you say, man, I did not have to work for it. That's God. God graced your life with that. Understand that. The reason why you are where you are today, part of it is because of your mouth. Don't get mad. I love you. I ain't saying it in hate. Huh? But now your words determine your destiny. Your words determine your destiny, not somebody else's words. You in charge of your destiny. If you don't like your destiny or where you are, then check out what you're saying, because your words will check your location. Your words will cause your landmark. See? It will tell you where you're living. It will tell you where you are. So if I don't like where I am, I got to change how I think. I got to change how I talk so I can change my destiny. Amen? Come on, let's give God some glory in the house. I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to speak this word. It's important that we speak words. You know, I had to repent even this week myself. I had to, okay, Lord, I gotta check this out. Check this out. See, sometimes we want to make people repent, but I can't make you repent. You gotta do that because you choose that. And I can beat you up with the word, but that don't make you repent. You know, you gotta choose to do that. Sometimes it make people run away. You know, but still the word is still the word. But the Lord was checking me. He said, you know what? You need to be consistent daily in confessing my word daily, because there are times where you are distracted. The enemy brings a lot of distractions to all of us. It gets us on projects. Everybody got projects. Don't tell me you ain't got no project. Don't play me. You got projects. And the enemy many times will bring those projects and put those projects at a higher priority than the word. Come on now. And you know we all, come on, you know this is right. We all need the word of God for guidance, for enlightenment. The Bible said the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. We need the word for revelation. We need the word so when we're working on those projects, we'll know what to do with those projects with the wisdom of God. And not be, you know, just chaotic in our thinking and frustrated in our emotions and just tired of people. Y'all know it. I'm hitting home. I know I am. Huh? And I have to respond, you know. I was glad how my wife is dealing with, you know. She's learning every year where she have to deal with school, you know, and how she's not letting the stuff that used to bother her with people, with parents who come in there irate and, you know, coming out, I mean, big time off the chain, you know, and she had to have a steady mind to know what to say, you know, without doing karate, you know, because y'all don't want to push Mama Mel too far now, huh? I'm saying Mama Mel has grown a whole lot, huh? I bless my Mama Mel, I tell you, she bless us, you know, because you got to be a special person to deal with parents and to deal with kids that's kicking you, cursing you, you know, damning you, huh? And telling you that you're everything but a child of God, and you come on, huh? And you and you're smiling. they just going through something. Yeah, because y'all know some of y'all would be, hey, I don't know. It was a reaction. I didn't mean to do it. And the child laying out on the floor. Huh? I'm sorry. They ran into my elbow, and I didn't really mean to do that. Huh? So, and I thank God that God has really blessed my wife, because I'm telling you, I had him do this same thing to me, and I had to kind of calm myself down. Help me, Holy Spirit. We need that in this life that we're dealing with today. We gotta be the beacon light, so people will be drawn to us, so they will be drawn to the healing power that's on our lives, the love power that's on our lives, the forgiving power that's on our lives. See, we gotta forgive people that you know. We got to forgive if we want to move forward in our purpose and in our design plan that God called us to, because see, unforgiveness will hinder your faith to be strong. You need your faith to be strong every day. So if you got all against, and one thing I found is when you do something for someone who really did you wrong, that helps to bring the healing process. Huh? It helps. I'm telling you, it helps. And it heals you. And it tells you something. Okay, you know what? Lord, you helped me with this. Even when you're doing it, you may not want to do it. Huh? You may be doing it and say, Lord, help me even in this process. And Lord, I'm believing that you're working this thing, but Lord, you told me to do it. I'm going to do it. Help me, Lord, with this. You know, and I'm serious. God will minister to you. And it'll get to a point where what used to bother you don't even touch you anymore. You'll heal of it. You see, if you still see that person get on your last nerve, you need some help on that area. Hmm? That person shouldn't be still bothering you. Huh? No one should be above God. No one should be controlling your life to that point where you got more fear of the person than you do the reverential fear of God. Come on, God got to be first. God got to be first. And when you put God first, God will cover you. God will minister to you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. I want you to speak some words out of your mouth, and I want you to believe this, but I believe that you are either operating in the 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold return, but I want to speak 100-fold to you, even 1,000-fold, you said. I want to speak that because that's good ground. See, you're good ground. And good ground is not going to be over here, you know, burying what God has put. Amen? Say, I believe I'm already prosperous because the word of God said so. The word says, beloved, I pray above all things that I prosper, be in health, even as my soul prosper. I'm connected to the vine, and the vine and the branches brings forth life. And he'll even prune me that which does not belong, so I can bring forth much fruit. I'm in abundance to the full, till it overflows. I operate as the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. Poverty is under my feet, and prosperity is before me every day. I walk in divine health from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I speak life to every tissue, every muscle, every bone, every ligament, every joint, every cell, organs. I speak life to you. Body, you will live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Father. I give you praise, for I live the prosperous life. I live the blessed life. I'm empowered. I'm anointed. I'm upon it to have good success every day in every way, because I walk with Jesus and Jesus walked with me. We're in fellowship. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll worship him. I will adore him. I will exalt him. I will live through him. And he through me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.